Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
I'm glad we can come back again to study the Word of God together. We will continue from last time. We talked about be fruitful and fill the earth. If you missed the meeting last time, please get the CD called Be Fruitful and Fill the Earth. Tonight we will continue to learn about God's will for us to be fruitful, to be blessed and to multiply. God wants us to multiply. God wants us to grow, to fill the earth, to be use of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we open our heart to learn from you, Lord, tonight. We pray, Father, that you will build our faith. Lord, that our spiritual eyes will see things in this life the same way you see, Father. So that we will move with you, we will be able to, Lord, walk by faith, and we will see miracles happen. We will, Lord, bring the kingdom of God into this earth, Lord. Father, we ask you to speak to all of us. May your anointing fill all of us tonight. And we bless you indeed, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love the Word of God because the more we study the Word of God, the more we have God perspective, and we can see the things around us the same way God see. And we want to renew our mind with the Word of God. So please listen to this teaching in a sense that hearing it, receiving it, and then change your mind. Let the Word of God transform your mind. If you look at the Bible carefully, you can see that God wants His people to be fruitful, to be productive, to multiply, to fill the earth, to be blessed, to be a blessing to other people. God always uses parables and symbols or story to give us some idea. Biblical idea or heavenly idea, so that we can have a deeper understanding of the things of God. I would like to show you some in the scriptures, some of the example that God, that when Jesus was teaching, he used the word that show us that we need to grow and become more mature, and we should be fruitful in our life. I give you example. God called all of us sheep. Is that right? Sheep or lamb? In John chapter 21, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than this?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, do you know that I love you?" Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." So God compared Christian to lambs or sheep. And lambs and sheep must grow up to become a mature sheep. So the same thing God, what I expect us to grow up, to produce, to multiply. The lamb, then when they are young, they cannot multiply. But as time go by, they grow up to become a mother sheep and father sheep, and they can multiply and have more and more sheep. Sheep produce sheep, is that right? So as we are the sheep of God, we should produce more sheep. The sign of maturity is to be able to produce, to be able to grow and become fruitful. We can produce more sheep in our life. I would like to encourage all of you to set the goal that you will really produce more sheep to your life, see more people saved, see people come into the kingdom through you. Will God will use you to produce spiritual offspring. Make a decision that I will grow every single day to become more and more mature and to be fruitful and multiply. Amen. That should be our goal. My goal is to do the same thing. I want to grow every single day. I want to become more and more like Him. And I want to multiply. I want to see more people come into the kingdom of God. I want to be used of God. Amen. So that should be our goal. Every one of us set the goal that we're going to grow every single day. We want to see more people come into the kingdom of God through us. That God will use us to be an instrument. We can produce more offspring, spiritual offspring. Look at another scripture that God compared Christian to a church to vineyard. In John chapter 15 verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Wow, this is interesting scripture. God talking about vineyard, about wine. The wine will branch off and produce fruit. So we should be the vine. We should be the branch of the vine. We should go off and produce more for God, produce more fruit for God. And it's interesting that God connect the answer to the prayer, like giving us a blank check. That if you live your life for the gospel, if you live your life for the lost soul, bringing the lost soul into the kingdom of God, your whole life is to bring the gospel to get people into the kingdom. Whatever you ask, the Father will give you. Is it amazing? This sentence is like almost a blank check. Listen one more time. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. But before that, the sentence say, you live your life to be fruitful. You need to really make a decision that you will produce more fruit for God. I want to encourage you tonight to really live your life to be fruitful. Amen. Grow up. Produce more fruit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, who served as a soldier at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes, who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk. Actually, this scripture talking about taking care of the full-time worker, taking care of the minister. The minister look after the vineyard, so you should take care of him financially. And God compare the church or us as vineyard, as the wine that we will produce more fruit. Not only that, the Bible compare all of us as babies. We are like children. Baby need to grow up. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 say, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:20, in regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adult. So God compares us in a certain sense that we are babies, we are kids, children of God, and children need to grow up. Amen. My heart desire is to see all of you grow up to the point that you don't need to depend on the pastor that much anymore. You will be able to stand on your own feet and you will be able to produce more. You know, compared to physical life, you were like a baby. You crawl, you sit, you walk and fall down like a toddler. And you go to first grade, second grade, then you grow up and you go to university, graduate, until one day you can work, you can produce, you can produce income, you get married, and then you can have kids. You get married and have kids. The same thing in the spiritual way. We need to grow up to the point that one day we have kids, spiritual kids. we can reach out to the lost and we can save, get them saved, and we can really produce more and more offspring for the kingdom of God. I want you to see, really grow up and don't stay baby forever. We need to really take it seriously that we're going to grow to become a mature Christian. Amen. We'll not be tossed back and forth by the winds of the world. We will not be shaken by anybody's comment, but stick to the word of God, be very, very firm, have the right attitude, and grow up in the way of God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 1, therefore let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ and go on to maturity. God wants us to grow up. How do you measure your maturity? To who? How do you measure the level of your maturity? Who is the standard of your maturity? Jesus. Amen. You need to compare yourself to Jesus. Amen. So that's why you need to learn and read the four gospels and study about the life of Jesus, how Jesus walked, how Jesus handled situation. Amen. I give you example. Every time some people hurt my feeling or some people offend me, God will remind me of this scripture. I give you example that I always measure myself with the Lord Jesus Christ, how he handled situation. Like every time people offend me, he will remind me of this scripture. He said like this in 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 23, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him, mean to God the Father, who judges righteously. So if I want to grow up to be like Jesus, when people offend me, I should not fight back. I should not gossip back. I should not fight and take revenge like Jesus. Jesus did not take revenge. Jesus just keep his mouth shut and let God the Father become the judge. So that is very mature. Very mature person. You know, he set such a good example to all of us. So I want to encourage you to really look up to Jesus and follow Jesus and see how Jesus respond. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Father. You see, Jesus' food is not bun thịt nướng. It's not only pizza, but he wants to do the will of the Father. So you really need to make decision to grow up to become like Jesus Christ. And then you become fruitful. You will become productive. Amen. Let's say at the same time, I will not stay like a baby forever. I will grow up. Amen. So think, have the mind of Christ, think like Christ, act like Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen Jesus get depressed and worry? No, he trusts the Father. He is always walking by faith. He walks under the Spirit 24 hours a day. One of the character of Jesus is that he walked by the Spirit 24 hours a day. It's amazing. I cannot even do that yet. But I set the goal that I want to walk by the Spirit 24 hours a day, not by my flesh. But I will be surrendering and following the Spirit of God 24 hours a day. Grow up into maturity and then I can reproduce. Amen. Not only that, the Bible compares all of us as bricks or stones, living stone that come together as a temple. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 19 to 22, consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building, meaning the church, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple, glorious temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In other words, God tried to say that you cannot be a loner Christian. You cannot be alone. You need to come together, join together like a bricks, join together into a beautiful temple. It takes some kind of organization. It takes some kind of cooperation. Amen. God doesn't want us to be lonely Christian. God wants us to join together until we become a beautiful temple. So that's why I want to encourage all of you to really, really appreciate one another and have the attitude that I am here to be built and I'm here to help build other people. Sometimes I notice that some immature Christians tend to have this attitude that, oh, too much problem in this ministry. I quit. I walk away. I heard this sometimes, and I can tell that that comment is immature comment. In fact, if you understand God's will, God put you there in that ministry, in that group of people, so that you will be a part of the bricks that will work together. Like one brick join another brick until it build up into beautiful temple. So actually God put you there to go through the process of being built as a group. So instead of quitting or walking away, you should just hang in there and learn from one another, because somebody else will shape you up a little bit, polish you, and you polish them. We help each other to grow up to be a beautiful temple. Amen. If you understand God's will, you will not just walk away from a group or from a local church or from any ministry that God called you to do. You stick there. You just stick there to build one another. It's not just somebody build you up, but you build another person up too. God is building, putting things in order. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a year or two. It takes some time for God to build all of us into a beautiful temple. My goal is to see that our local church here will become a beautiful temple of God. When people see our church, when God look from heaven, look at our church like, wow, so beautiful. It's so glorious, so awesome temple. Have you ever gone to, I know that some of us, when you want to get married, you're looking for a beautiful place to go and have a ceremony. Is that right? Or you, when you go to some place, you look for a beautiful architecture, beautiful place. The same thing, God wants to build a beautiful architecture here, beautiful temple together. Amen. It's a fun job. It's a privilege to be a part of being built, building one another in the temple of God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 says, you also like living stones are being built into a spiritual house to be holy priesthood. Amen. So, you are a living stone that will join together and grow up to be a beautiful temple. It's awesome. Amen. Not only that, God compare all of us as a tree. Each of us is like a tree. If you turn to, it's not in the computer there, but I want to read to you. In Psalm chapter 1, the Bible says clearly that we are like a tree. The Bible says that, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Thank God you gave up your TV time tonight. You gave up your resting time to come and get delight in the law of the Lord. I know that in your flesh you are tempted not to come here. You like to just stay home and relax and watch TV. So you have to die to yourself to come here. The reason you come because you delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree. People who are Christian who love the word of God, God compared to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. When the right time comes, you will produce fruit. You will become fruitful because you delight yourself and you delight in the law of the Lord. You planted by the rivers, by the Holy Spirit. Yesterday, I was talking to God that it's interesting. I was kind of I always talk to God. And I say, God, it's interesting that you use both the Word and the Spirit to make us grow. You cannot just have only the Word. You need the empowering or the work of the Holy Spirit so that you will grow. We all need the Holy Spirit to grow. Amen. So God used the rivers and used the Word as a seed to make it grow. Whoever leads so shall not wither, but whatever he does shall prosper. So God wants us to prosper. God wants us to produce fruit. We need to plant ourselves by the rivers of water. We should love the Word of God. So God compares us to tree, to grow and produce fruit. God expects us to grow, to be fruitful. God also compared the kingdom of God in our life as mustard seed. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 32, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven, where is the kingdom of heaven? Where is the kingdom of heaven? It's in you and me. The kingdom of God is not outside somewhere. It's inside you and me. The kingdom of God is inside us because we have Jesus in us. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, everyone say grows. So God expects us to grow, okay? It is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. So God expects us to grow up, to become a big tree. From a little seed, the day you accepted Jesus Christ, you have that seed of the kingdom of God in you. Amen? And that seed will grow. I can see that already in the life of Neil Calkin. I remember when Neil Calkin came into our church about, I think more than 10 years ago, we were still in the hotel. I never forgot the first day you walked into the church. You said that I'm a student at Lutheran Bible College. And this is my mission. They assigned me to be in a local church. So he showed up. And I see that Neil has grown so much. And now he's so fruitful. He has so many sheep. He takes care of so many people. He become fruitful. He become a big tree now, that not only Mary Jo is under his branch, but he has Phil and Jamel, and a lot of people come like a bird come into under the branch. And so he can protect them. He can take care of them. That should be the goal of every Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We need to grow up. We need to set that goal. To grow up, but we need to root ourselves somewhere. I tell you that if you are not rooting yourself in a local church, you will never grow. I see so many, one thing, a sad thing about seeing people around here is that there's so many people who claim to be Christians in the society that never commit themselves to a local church. And I can see that they are not growing at all. They just stay stagnant. Amen. So, but if you root yourself in a local church, you will grow for sure. Amen. So God compares us as the tree, the seed of the kingdom of God. Amen. And that seed will grow in us. Amen. God expects us to grow. Jesus also compares all of us as fisher of men. Matthew chapter 4 verse 19, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. God wants us to fish men. God wants us to get people into the kingdom of God. I just want to really encourage you to come back to the basic again. A, B, C. Don't be too sophisticated. Don't be too PhD and master degree to the point or such a great theologian. To the point that you forget about saving soul. Amen. Sometimes we are too sophisticated with theology. We become a great theologian. Or I may become so, like, a great pastor to the point that I don't care about the lost soul anymore. No. In fact, Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter, I think 19, when he was talking about Zacchaeus, he said that the Son of Man come to seek and save that which is lost. So, what is the purpose of Jesus coming to the world? To seek. Everyone to say, seek. It's like a fisher of men. Go and fish, seek. And save. So, I tell you, this is really should be our primary goal of life. Every single day, we should think about how I can go out and seek and save that which is lost. Amen? Should not be too sophisticated to the point that we forget about this fact. Sometimes the devil lies to the church. Oh, now we need to go deeper in theology. We need to go have a very high technology in the church. We need to do this and that. But then we forget about saving the lost, which is one of the most important attitude of God, that we need to save the lost. Amen. In the past 6 months, I thank God. You know, God reminded me, son, you are not doing too bad, because in the past 6 months, through our ministry here, we have 79 people saved in the past 6 months. I know that not everyone is in our church. Some of them already left to another country. Some of them may be gone home now. Some of them may move to another state or something. But at least we got 79 people saved, which is pretty good number for this size of church. Because some churches may not even have one people saved for 3 years. But we have 79 people saved. So why don't we give a hand to God? Amen. Definitely we want them to join us and stay with us. But again, it's up to God. We do our best to reach out to people, to invite people to come. And at least we see people saved. And we want to save souls. Amen. Last Sunday afternoon, at the end of the service, I could not help. I need to do like Paul. The Bible says Paul went into the synagogue and he persuaded people to accept Christ. I walked to a young man. I don't want to mention the name. I walked to a young man who stayed both morning and evening service, and I grabbed his hand and say, "Are you saved? Do you want to accept Jesus Christ?" You know, I really want to see this man saved. I want to tell him that this is important for you. Amen. So we need to still have that attitude all the time that we want to see people saved. That's why we need to really pray for the lost. We need to intercede for the lost. We need to intercede for this city. Amen. Believe me, you will never go wrong way if you still think about helping the lost to be saved. It's the right way in the church. Every one of us should reach out to the lost. Amen. Email them, call them, send card to them, invite them, do whatever you can to, and everything we do here should focus on helping the lost to be saved. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Bible compares our life, the kingdom of God in us, as yeast. What happens when you put yeast into a large amount of flour to make bread? What happened to that flour? It will expand. Is that right? The same thing, the kingdom of God has potential in us to expand us, to grow us more and more. In fact, every single year, you should see brother and sister and see yourself change and grow. Next year, Steve should be more mature than this year. And you should have more anointing than this year. Amen. If you are not growing, you are not changing, something is wrong in your life. The yeast will make you grow. The kingdom of God. So, if people are stagnant in their spiritual walk, it means that something is going on wrong. in the heart. But if you really love Jesus and follow Jesus, read the Word and follow the Holy Spirit, you will definitely grow and produce and be fruitful. Amen? Amen. There is no other way. You must grow. You must move on to the next level from glory to glory by His Spirit. Amen? The Bible also compares us to servant with 5, 3, and 2 talents. In Matthew chapter 25, you remember the Bible talk about the master gave 5 talents to one servant, 3 and 2. And what happened? The master expect each one of them to make profit out of those talents. The first two make some profits, and God say, the master say like this, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." What happened to the guy with 1 talent? He did not do anything. He just ignored it. And the master came back, was very upset with him. So in other words, you can see here again that the Bible tried to show us that God expects us to grow. God expects us to make profit for God. We are in the business of the Father. So as we are in the business of the Father, we should expect some profit, some income, some growth of the revenue. Is that right? The stock market should go up in our company. The value of our company should go up. Is that right? We should have some dividend at the end of the year. So we should see the production in our life. We should really, you know, and it's really a decision. Last Sunday, I went home and I was really talking to God, that God, I really want to see more souls saved in this church. I really want to see more people come into the kingdom. God, please. I begin to pray for the lost in this city. God, what I can do, Father? What can I do to see more souls saved? God said, pray more, intercede more for the city. Today, when Pastor Da went home after the intercessory prayer. In fact, Pirat told me that last Sunday, God touched him. And God told him that there should be a group of people that will come a little bit early, voluntarily, okay. Intercede for the service. Because as a pastor, I need to focus on what God wants to use me on Sunday. But somebody need to intercede for the meeting. Sit and intercede, pray, and intercede for the city and the meeting that the lost will be saved. Amen. Traveling, praying before a woman give birth, there is a traveling pain. I share with a couple people yesterday that in the past few months, something happened in my spirit. I think because I have been in revival. Something happened in my spirit that very difficult to handle. Lately, the Holy Spirit inside me make me feel like I am in the shoes of God. Make me feel so burdened and so, when I see people sin, I feel so grievous and feel so concerned with those souls and feel like, and pray for them. And I feel like I have the same feeling as God feel about them. You know, in the past, I didn't feel this much because it's not my business. Hey, if you sin, you're going to pay the price. It's not my business. It's your problem. But lately, I really feel the compassion and the mercy of God upon people so much that sometimes I say, God, maybe you should take this feeling away from me. I couldn't handle this because I'm a human being to feel like that, to feel the burden, the grief when people sin against God, the burden to see them set free. And not only that, feel the burden when we see people are tortured by sin, by the devil, and by the curses in their life. I told the international group last Sunday that one of the reasons I have been seeking more anointing, not because I want to be famous or I want to be a great guy. I tell you the truth, my real motive of wanting to seek more anointing is that I see people on earth get tortured by sin, by sickness and disease, and by all the things that the devil throw to them. And I know that the only way to set the captive free is by the anointing, not by man's ability. And that's why I want more anointing. That's how I feel. That, you know, each day I see patients sit in front of me tortured by problem. Family broke down, financially in trouble, husband and wife had problem, you know, all kinds of, and you know, when I say torture, it is to this level I see in my eyes. Even, it doesn't have to be like a person get sick with cancer. That is pretty bad. But even I see a sheep that gets stuck like this, cannot grow. And I can see from the eyes, spiritual eyes of the shepherd, that they cannot grow up. They get stuck on the ceiling. They cannot rise into the things of God. Because I see that either the devil or demon chain them, or they have misunderstanding, or they have no faith, or have doubt, or they something going on that chain them, chain their leg, and they cannot rise up. And I see that as a pastor. And that to me is also a torture. Torture. Because if you don't grow up, you miss the blessing. You miss the things of God. So I even have that feeling that I want to see people just break through into the next level. And that's why I want the anointing. I want to see people break through in their spiritual walk. I don't know you understand what I'm talking about here. Maybe you, but that is the heart of God. The heart of God, He is so concerned and so much compassion for people. And He see from His spiritual eyes, to see the condition of mankind. He see the mankind have been taken advantage of by the enemy and by sin. And that heart in the heart of God that has been imparted by the Spirit of God into my heart really make me feel that way all the time. I tell you, I feel that way all the time. It's so hard in this physical body to handle that feeling. Because I will almost say that, you know, I don't want to feel this way. This is not my business. I just want to mean my, just care for my business. I don't want to worry about other people. I don't want to think about other people, but I cannot because the Holy Spirit is, think about, you know, the sheep, see the lost, and I see people, you know, it's one day are you going to be in my shoes, I hope, and you understand what I'm talking about. You may not understand my shoes yet, but what I'm talking about. I get closer and closer to God's shoes more and more. So that's why God really crying out from heaven that grow up and be my vessel to go and help other people. Because millions of people out there are in torture by demons, by sin. And you cannot help people if you yourself are not there yet. In other words, you cannot lead people to where you've never been to. Listen carefully one more time. You cannot lead people to the place that where you have never been to. If you don't grow up, how can you gonna lead people to grow up? You can bring people only to the level you are. And that's why if you want to bring people more higher, you need to go up, up, higher, higher, so that you can take people higher with you. And the more they're growing up high, the Bible talks about go up to the high mountain of God. The book of Isaiah says that. Go high into the mountain of God to the point that the snake cannot be there. You know that snake cannot be in the high altitude. One way to kill snake is to put snake in the airplane and go up into the high altitude. The snake will die. So when you go so high, it will be very difficult for the devil to see you and touch you. But that's our goal. We're gonna grow up higher and higher. And it's a process. It takes time. People ask me, why you keep laying hand on people, the same head, 10 times a month? Why these people? You know, I know that a lot of people laugh at me, and especially people who don't understand the things of God, the Spirit of God. Why this same person come up to be prayed for again and again? Are they not done yet? Hey, just get it done one time. I see already, I give you example, I have seen Nui. Nui have been coming out to be prayed for all these months. And I can see the change in her in the past few months now. She got good job now. God take away the curse of her poverty. You know, there is a curse in her life about the curse of poverty. Couldn't find a job. Now God set her free. Now she look more glorious. She is more happier. She is more healthier. Everything. God just deal with you, Nui, little by little. But you press in. It's a process of growth. Amen. And that process is done by the Word and by the Spirit. Amen. So we need to grow up, and it takes some time. I want to tell you, don't be satisfied or content with where you are right now. You are still a long way to go into become more like Christ. If once you say, I am fine, I have arrived, you are on the road to go downhill. You are not there yet. You still have a long way to go. Deal with it. Any sin in your life, any bad habits, any wrong attitude, deal with it as soon as possible. Repent as soon as possible. Get rid of it. Say, God, I'm sorry. I this is bad attitude. I'm going to get rid of it right now. God, deal with me. Change me. Mold me. Melt me. Burn me up. Whatever to change me to become more like Jesus. Take serious about being changed and transformed by God to become like Him. Take that seriously. Amen? Amen. I need to say this way because I don't want you to be lukewarm and say, I'm happy being a born again Christian. I go to church, pay my tithe, show up in the church every Sunday. I'm fine. You know, that is the lie of the enemy. No, you need to press in to grow more. You cannot say, I have graduated. You have not, no one has graduated in this church. I have not either. I still have a long way to go myself. Amen? And God's still dealing with me. In fact, God is still dealing with me. Many issues that I need to change. Amen. So you need to understand that God is not happy if we are not fruitful. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 21 verse 43. Therefore I tell you, that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, given to a people who will produce its fruit. So in other words, Jesus used a very strong statement here that if you are not growing and produce fruit, you can be in trouble. The kingdom of God may be taken away from you. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 13 verse 7. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Wow. What a strong word. So in other words, God really is not pleased if we stay stagnant and not growing up and not produce fruit. We need to grow up and produce fruit. Personal fruit and outside fruit. Outside fruit means more souls. People that you take care grow up. Internal fruit is your own character, your own maturity. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew chapter 3 verse 10. I read all this thing. It's not my word, okay? It's God's word. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Wow. Very strong statement. So in other words, not growing up, not producing fruit are not the normal lifestyle of a true born again Christian. Truly born again Christian will grow up and produce fruit. Amen. Look at Matthew 25 verse 24 on.
Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belonged to you. His master replied, you wicked. Wow. Very strong word. Lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with the interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside in the dark, into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing with gnashing of teeth. Is God happy with unfruitfulness? No, not at all. That's why we need to settle the issue now, and we need to grow up, and we need to produce fruit.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,